blessing this morning and honored to be here. And I love Brother Michael Rochester and his family and have come to love Morningstar Baptist Church. Appreciate every time the Lord's let me be here. And I enjoyed the singing this morning. And I tell you what I liked. I liked that it was all about Jesus. And I think if you're going to sing about Jesus, you probably ought to do it the best you can. And if you're doing it the best you can, praise the Lord. If you can do it better, do it better. And that's about as good as I ever heard anybody do it. I liked it. And I appreciate that. Thank you, family, for honoring the Lord this morning. I want you to take your Bible. I know I'm not the only preacher, so I'll get to the text this morning, Luke chapter number 10. And I want to read verse 25 and read down a few verses, familiar portion of Scripture. I see some of the young people from y'all's church. Thank y'all for being with us about a month ago now at our youth meeting. We're honored that y'all came. Thank you. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be around people who love the Lord. And I appreciate Him. Luke chapter 10, let's stand for a minute this morning as we read the Word of God, and I'll do my very best to be as brief as I can. And verse number 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law, how readest thou? And I believe this morning if this lawyer would have been sincerely asking Jesus, Jesus would have gave him a very sincere answer. But the Bible said he tempting Jesus. And so Jesus said, all right, well, what do you think? You're a big student of the law. You know the Bible. What do you think? And how readest thou? If you want to be wrong, God will let you be wrong. If you want to miss the will of God, God will let you miss it. Verse 27, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." This is what the lawyer said. Well, here's what I read in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy's law was just to live. If you want to live, honor God, love your neighbor, and you can live. It had nothing to do with being born again. But if you want to try to work your way into heaven, God will let you try to work your way into heaven. It won't work. But God will let you do it. That's why there's false religions everywhere. How readest thou? Verse 26, he answering, verse 27, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. He never promised him eternal life. He said, if you can figure out how to do that, you can live. Living by Bible principles, even as a lost person, will give you a better life, even though you're lost. Look in verse number 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray this morning. Lord, would you help us, for a little bit this morning, please. I pray, God, that you would. I pray, God, that you'd grant wisdom and liberty. I pray, God, that you would touch me, Lord, as I preach. God, give me the unction that I need. Lord, let me be mindful of the time. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd make much of Jesus for the next little while. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach on this Samaritan. We call him the Good Samaritan. The Bible calls him a Samaritan. And we call him a Good Samaritan because we know what he did was a real good thing. I want to preach this morning on the Samaritan as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a picture in many ways of Christ Jesus. And I want to give that type to you for just a moment this morning. Jesus is in a crowd of people, and a lawyer comes to him seeking to tempt him. And the lawyer, we read it, you saw it, the Bible said he was seeking to tempt Jesus. He asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him with a question. And oftentimes Jesus answers with a question. And then Jesus gives this illustration. And I will move into the thought quickly this morning. Jesus gives him this illustration to show him that what he's trying to do is not possible for him to do. He said to Jesus, if I love God and love my neighbor, that's what I think will work. Jesus said, all right, I want you to do that. And so then he completely bypasses the loving God part. He knows that he don't have that right, and so does every sinner. And he said, well, I can at least try to love my neighbor. Tell me, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is going to paint this picture and let this boy at the end of this realize that if anybody is the man in the ditch, it's the lawyer. And if anybody is the Samaritan that reaches down and helps him, it's not him, but it's the Lord Jesus. And I want to say I'm glad this morning Jesus come by where I was, in my ditch, in my despair, in my sin, and reached way further down than I could reach up and save me. And this Samaritan is a type. Just let me give it to you this morning quickly, and I'll take my seat. It's all right here in the text. It's all alliterated by the Holy Ghost. I'll give it to you just like it is. Look in verse number 33. The Bible said, but a certain Samaritan. First of all, I want to say that he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, in that he's certain. You say, well, what does that make him a type of Jesus? Well, there's a whole lot of Samaritans. There's a whole lot of Samaritans that have traveled up and down this road. There's a whole lot of Samaritans that have left Jerusalem and come down to Jericho. There's a whole lot of Samaritans in this day. But the Bible distinguishes him as a certain Samaritan. He's not just a man, but he's different than other men. The Bible declares him to be a distinct individual. I'll not belabor this thought this morning, but I want to say to you, Jesus is not just a man. He's not just any man. He is the man. He's not just a way. He's the way. He's not just a Savior. He's the only Savior. He's not just a truth. He's the truth. He's not just a life, but he's the life, and he is certain as our Savior. And so this Samaritan is a type of Jesus, and Jesus is trying to show this lawyer that you're the man in the ditch, and the man you're trying to tempt is the man alone that can help you. He is certain, and so in that he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, let me give it to you, verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Not only is he a type of Jesus in the fact that he's certain, but he's a type of Jesus in the fact that he came. I don't think I got to preach that to you on a Tuesday morning, but is anybody glad that he came? He came to where you were. He came to you in your depravity.
He came to you in your despair. He came to you in your sin. He didn't have to. Others couldn't and others wouldn't. But he came. And in that, he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a few things about the fact that he came. First of all, he came down. He came down. I did a little bit of research, and the Bible said that he came from Jerusalem traveling to Jericho. And you know that Jerusalem is a holy place. Jerusalem was where God's temple dwelt. Jerusalem was where God's presence met with man. Jerusalem was a place of the presence of God. And this road traversing from Jerusalem to Jericho was a road that went down. And not only did he come down, but he came down spiritually. Jerusalem is a place of the presence of God. And Jericho, you remember when Joshua and Israel marched around the wall of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, as the song tells us, and the Bible tells us, and the Lord put a curse on Jericho. He said, it's a cursed place. If you ever rebuild it again, it'll be a cursed place. It's cursed now. It'll always be cursed. And they had rebuilt Jericho, and so there's a road going from Jerusalem to Jericho. There's a road going from a holy place to a cursed place. And the Bible said that the Samaritan left Jerusalem, and he traveled down to Jericho. He left a holy city, and he traveled to a cursed place. I'm trying to tell you this morning that not only did Jesus come, but when he came down. He left the presence of God, he left a holy place, and he came to a cursed place. Because I was there, because you were there, he came down spiritually from a city of the blessings of God to a city that is accursed. Not only did he come down spiritually, but he come down physically. I did a little research and I found that, watch this now, Jerusalem is 2,474 feet above sea level. It's a high place. And I know I'm not the only one who's ever seen this or shown this. It's just good to see and good to hear, whether you've seen it a million times. Jerusalem is a high place physically. Jericho, I don't even really know how this makes sense. It don't make sense in my mind. But Jericho is a low place, and it is negative 846 and a half feet below sea level. Meaning you can go to where the water levels out, and then you got to go 847 and a half feet below that to get to where Jericho is. I looked it up in the parking lot this morning because I thought about it coming down the road. Jericho is the lowest city on earth. It still is. And Jericho is the lowest place where men dwell. And the Bible said that that Samaritan left a mighty high place, a mighty holy place, and he walked down a road that was headed to a mighty low place. He walked down from the highest place to the lowest place. Why in the world? Because there was somebody down there that needed a Savior, somebody down there that needed a way up when there was no way out. He came down. He came down physically. He came down a cursed place. He came down to a low place. Is anybody glad this morning on a Tuesday morning that when you could not come to where he was, he came to you? And when he reached down, he reached way down, but he got you and brought you out of where you were. He said, lawyer, I want you to know that you're the man in the cursed place. You're the man in the low place. But I'm the man who come to get you out. And if you'll let me, I'll save even you. He's a type of Christ in that he came. And when he came down. But not only did he come down, he came despised. The Bible says that he's a Samaritan, and in that fact, he's a type of Jesus. Jesus was not a Samaritan, but in John chapter number 8, verse number 48, the Jews answered, and the Bible said, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? The Bible teaches us that the Jews hated the Samaritans. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. They hated them. They despised them. And so when they called Jesus a Samaritan, what they were saying is, you know that crowd that we hate so badly? You remind us of them. You know that crowd we'd walk across the street to avoid? You remind us of them. We don't want you any more than we want them. Isaiah said he'd be despised and rejected of men when he came. Isn't that amazing? The Savior of the world would come to save any old sinner, and most sinners wouldn't want anything to do with him. Aren't you glad for the day you decided to throw in with him? Aren't you glad for the day you decided that there ain't nobody in the world like him and you'll take him over all? But when he came despised. He came down. Notice with me as we quickly move on. I'm watching my time. Notice verse number 33 still. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This is all I'll say about the compassion. But notice he's a type of Christ in his compassion. It's all I'll say about that, and I'll move on this morning. I looked up that word compassion in the old Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, and you got to be careful where you look up your words anymore because they change meanings now. This stuff just don't mean anything anymore. So I found an old dictionary, and I looked it up, the word compassion. Here's what it means: a suffering with another. A painful sympathy, a suffering with another. Here's what the Bible teaches us. According to that word, the priest passed by that Jew boy in the street, beaten and bruised and robbed and left for dead, and he went on to the other side. And the Levite passed by, and he looked, and then he went on the other side. And went on his way. Either he couldn't help him or he wouldn't help him. I think he could have helped him. I just think he wouldn't help him. He passed by on the other side. And said, and maybe even said, man, that's horrible. I hate seeing something like that. Isn't that horrible that we live in a society, I can hear him say, where thieves would do that to a man. But they passed on by and went about their way. And here come that despised Samaritan coming out of that holy place, coming down to that lowly place. And as he passed by and he looked on him and he saw him, there was something on the inside that moved him to compassion. And he said, I can't leave him here. I can't leave him in this state. There's something I got to do for him, and I'll do whatever I got to do. And I'm glad when he looked down and he saw me, he didn't leave me the way that he found me. Amen. He got down in the ditch with that boy and said, I'm going to get you out. But all types play out, preacher. And here's where this one does. As far as that good Samaritan could go, is to get down there with him and help him out. But he's a type of Jesus, but he's not a fulfillment of Jesus. Because Jesus went a little further. Jesus didn't just get down in the ditch with him and help him out. But I'm going to need a good amen right here. Jesus got down in the ditch with him and didn't just help him out. Jesus became him in the ditch. I'm going to run that and buy you again. I don't know if y'all believe it. I'm going to have to show you a little Bible on it. That boy could only get down in the ditch and help him. So I'll do the best I can. Jesus walked down into your hell. Jesus walked down into your shame. Jesus walked down into your sin and said, not only am I going to get down here with you, but I'm going to get down here and become you. He who knew no sin became sin. Watch this now. What does the Bible say that the thieves did to the Jewish man? The Bible said they robbed him. Did they not do that on the cross of Calvary? Did they not rob Jesus of his garments and his dignity on the cross of Calvary? I know he laid his life down. They robbed him. The Bible said that they beat him and left him for dead. Did they not beat our Lord Jesus and bruise our Lord Jesus? And there he died on the Roman cross. Huh? The Bible said they parted his garments, the Lord Jesus, and the Bible said that they stripped him of his garments. So Jesus is not just a type of the Samaritan is not just a type of Jesus, but the man in the ditch becomes a type as he hung there on the cross, as they parted his garments, as they stripped him of his garments, as they robbed him and they beat him. He became the man in the ditch in his compassion. The old song said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. He's a type of Jesus in his compassion. He who knew no sin became sin. He became me and got me up out. Look in verse 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, sat him on his own beast, brought him to an inn. And here's the next word, and took care of him. You say, preacher, now isn't that kind of close to compassion? It is, but I want to look at this care that he gave him for just a minute. Just a minute. The Bible said that he pouring in oil, or I'm sorry, the Bible said verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. Now in this care, it involved correction. He bound up his wounds. He said, there's some crooked things we're going to have to make right. There's some broken things we're going to have to fix. And we're going to bind you up. We're going to correct what needs correcting. Oh, I'm glad Jesus is real good at correcting what sin has broken. Amen. His correction, as we see his care. And then not only his correction, but I want you to notice his cleansing. Verse number 34, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Oil's a type of the Spirit of God, and wine's a type of the blood. And he said it took that blood and it took that wine, the Spirit of God and the blood of Christ, and began to cleanse everything. He said, you're going to need a bath, boy. You've been beaten and you've been broken and you've been battered and you've been bruised, and it's time to clean you up. Has anybody ever been under the cleansing flow of the cross of Calvary? And the Lord Jesus, with the help of the Holy Ghost, cleansed up your life. He's still working on me. He got me clean at Calvary, and now he's just keeping me sanctified. His cleansing. We're talking about his care. Now, this is probably one of my favorite thoughts in this thought this morning. Verse 35 or verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast. Notice how he carried him in his care. Set him on his own beast. He said, what it was that got me from the holy place and brought me here, I've got confidence that I can put you on it and it'll get you to where you're going. If there's ever a picture of grace, does anybody know what it was that brought Jesus from heaven? Does anybody know what it was that made Jesus come to where it wasn't we was worthy, it wasn't you were good, it wasn't you deserved it, it wasn't God thought that you were somebody, it was the grace of God. And he said it was grace that brought me to you, and now I'm about to put you on grace, and it's grace that'll take you to where you're going. Thank God he's still caring for me this morning. I rode in here on grace. I'm going to ride out of here on grace. And I'm going to ride all the way to the house in grace. I can see that boy as he's riding, coming in and out of consciousness. His eyes are beating. He can't even see the Samaritan. But he said, I can't see him. But boy, ain't nobody ever touched me like that. I can't see him, but ain't nobody ever spoke to me like that. I can't see him, but ain't nobody ever cared for me. You say, preacher, I can't see him, but I sure have felt his touch. I can't see him, but I sure have heard his voice. I can't see him, but I sure do enjoy his grace. And thank God one of these days your eyes will be open and you'll see him. The type of Christ in his care. And he cared by correcting and cleansing and carrying. And even in his care, we notice his company. He said, we're going to take you to an inn. I got about 9-10 minutes left on my time. Are y'all all right? Unless you think I need to go shorter. Notice the company. He took him to an inn. You know who hangs out at inns? I'll tell you, people. They're made for people to stay, to hang out at inns. And he said, there's a place, boy. Grace is going to carry you down to a place. There's some people down there, and there's an innkeeper down there. And I'm gonna let him and them take care of you for a little while. And does anybody remember the day when you were hellbound, lost on your way to hell in sin, couldn't get out of it if you wanted to? Jesus came by where you were, broke the chains of sin, got you out, put you in the grace of God. And you know where he carried you and dropped you off? The same place you are right now. Dropped you off with a bunch of people and a shepherd down at the church. And it's a good place to hang out. Jesus always takes people to the inn and drops them off with an innkeeper, which is a type of the Holy Ghost and a type of a preacher. I'm not even a type preacher. I don't even preach types most of the time, but I'm enjoying this one. He took care of him. Notice. And on verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Talking about his care as a type of Jesus. Notice the cost in this care. He took out 2 pence, and I want you to get this. He took out 2 pence, and he said, this will be enough to take care. And if there's anything over, I won't owe you a dime. If there's anything over, I'll take care of it in just a little while. I won't be indebted to you. I didn't know this, but I got to studying, and a pence, if my studies are right, about a day's wages. And so I don't know, but he said, here's 1 day's wages, here's 2 pence, here's 2 days' wages. I'll be coming back around the end of 2 days, 3 days, and so I won't give you no more, but when I come back, I'll give you whatever's left, whatever's needed. Now, I'm not trying to preach this as a fact, but I know he rose on the 3rd day. The Bible said the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. I wouldn't dare try to put a date on anything at all, but the Bible said a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and he said, I'm going to give you at least 2 days' worth that'll take care. And, And it's been about 1,000 and then 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus went away and went to the inn and took care of everything that needed to be taken care of, gave us all we needed to get us through for the next 2 days. And I couldn't preach this as an assurity, but could it be that here in just a little while, on the third day's coming, he's the type of the Lord Jesus in the fact that he's coming. He said everything you need, I've taken care of. And I will return and I will repay. He's a type. And I can see as I close, I can see that, and there's so much in there, and I've just hit the highlights. But I can see that boy. I can see him as he lays there in that inn. He said, I never could see him. I never could see him. But I love him. And I read behind the man. And when he said this, I thought, it makes no sense. He said, he made the statement. He said, oh, blessed thieves. I thought, you mean, oh, blessed Samaritan? Oh, blessed God? He said, oh, blessed thieves. And so I had to read on because he had me intrigued. What are we going to thank the thieves for? And he said that boy was a Jew. And he said that boy would have walked across the street before he'd ever touched a Samaritan. And he said, but thank God for the day the thieves robbed him and beat him and left him for dead. He said, because had it not been for them thieves, he said that boy would never let that Samaritan touch him. And he said, had it not been for sin and the situation sin put me in, he said, I'd have never let Jesus touch me. He said, I'd have never known I needed him, and I'd have never reached out for him. He said, but that boy was in such a low state that when the Samaritan come by, he said, I know you don't want me. I know you don't like me, but I come to help you. He said, that Samaritan came to help him, and that boy didn't turn him away. Aren't you glad for the day that sin robbed you, put you in sin, put you in chains, put you in bondage, put you down at the lowest place you could go so Jesus could come by and reach down and save you. I can see him one day in a testimony service at that inn. I can see him one day and they're all sitting around. He said, I want to tell y'all folks, y'all ain't going to believe me, but I want to tell y'all, I want to stand up and say thank God for the day that I was beaten and battered and bruised. I want to thank God for the day that I went down for what I thought to be the last time, because what I want y'all to know, that on that day a man came by unlike any man I ever met, and he reached down and got me out and put me in the grace of God and bless the day that sin took me to its depths, because I met a man unlike any man. Hallelujah to God. I bless his name. I'm done. Thank you for letting me preach this morning. What a Savior. Amen.